Faith works by
love.
There you go. Faith works by love. It works by love. Works by love. Galatians 5. If you got your Bibles, open up to Galatians 5, 6 through 8. It says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. Nothing that a man can do within themselves and through their own righteousness can save them. They are saved through faith alone in Jesus. And after you are saved, the key to life is to basically live for him, walking by faith, obeying his word that God has given you. Developing your relationship with him. They are saved by faith alone in Jesus. And after you are saved, those are the keys. Faith expressing itself in love. Amplified version says, but only faith activated and energized and expressed working through love. But only faith activated and energized and expressed working through love. So who gave you your faith? God did. Who said that? Somebody over here said it. Who said that? You, Trina? You get a gold star. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Everyone has been dealt a measure of faith by a heavenly Father, El Shaddai, Jehovah, not by any man. No man, no other man dictates your faith. God does. He's given that to you, the measure of faith. So God is the only one who knows whether or not his children are in faith or not. See, we can fool each other. It's easy to fool. I mean, I'm by faith. Yeah, absolutely. But when a storm comes, you go hightailing it. You go running away. But God knows whether or not we're in faith, expressing it in love. He said he gave you his love, so he knows whether or not his children are operating in love or hatred. He knows whether you are forgiven, you have forgiven your brother or sister from the heart, and if you're still carrying bitterness. Faith is activated and energized and expressed through love. Your faith will not work if you're still angry over what someone may have done to you. Been there, done that. Your faith will not work. Even though he's given you the measure of faith, it will not work. So the enemy's job is to keep you bitter, keep you hating on that person. And God is wanting for you to walk through doors and move mountains and everything, and then you can't because your faith is not working because you're still in hatred or bitterness to what someone may have said or done or what have you. Still holding on to that bully in third grade. You can't wait to see him. I seen a video. I was watching a video of a guy who was like, went to a barbershop, and he looked at a guy getting a seat, you know, getting a haircut and stuff. I go, wait a minute. You so-and-so, right? What's your name? Yeah. Man, you used to pick on me all day. He even started taking his stuff off. I've been waiting for this moment. And this guy got up. Well, what you want to do then? He took off his stuff. He was all built. He said, hey, man, hold on. I was just playing. Faith will not work unless you're in love. Your faith will not work. It doesn't mean you have to get back into a relationship with them. You can love from a distance. It's just that they may not like you that you're loving from a distance, okay? But see, here's the thing. That's your choice to make, not theirs or anyone else's for you. If you're not ready to get back in that relationship, don't let anyone rush you because you got to heal. Right? You got to heal. You got to allow God to heal your heart. And when people want to rush you in it, they just want to kind of keep you in that cycle of abuse so that you don't ever get healed properly. And then you end up in more bitterness, more hatred, your faith not working. Now you don't even know what's going on because your life is just upside down. Remove yourself from that if you have to and heal. You matter. You don't have to be strong. I said, in his weakness, we are strong. Here's the thing. God, I can't do this. Everyone's been at that point sometime in their life. You got to understand, forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Forgiveness is not for you, it's for them. Forgiveness is for you, it's not for them. Sorry. Forgiveness is for you, it's not for them. Now, if they think it's for them, then they're just playing you. Okay? They're saying to themselves, you know, thank you for forgiving me, but when you let me back in, I'm going to continue to do what I want to do to you. That's not what it's for. Okay? Your prayers will be hindered if you don't forgive. Miracles, signs, and wonders won't flow through you if you don't forgive. We can fake it till we make it. That's cool. But when it comes time to miracles, signs, and wonders to operate in your life, it won't work. And then what ends up happening? We blame him when it was our heart. Faith expressed through love, it activates God's grace. And God's grace has already been freely given to us. So if we can't access God's grace in our life, it's because there might be some stuff going on in ours. So here's the thing. The awesome thing about God is this. Repent. God, I messed up in this. Okay. Now let's go. You fall, let's get back up. Let's run your race. We all have a race to run, and sometimes we want to hold on to it. No, I just want to sit here in the dirt and just pout all day long. I want everybody to know what's going on with me, what's wrong with me, and I'm going to tell everyone. That's not what God is. He said, hey, get up and let's roll. We got a race to win. Everybody doesn't need to know everything that's going on in your life. They don't. It's not for them. But when you have an opportunity to share it, do it after the fact that God has brought you through that storm. Amen? Amen, amen. People can act like a flat-out baboon to you, but you have to keep yourselves in love. You have to keep yourselves in love. Now, are they living in faith? No. They're not, because faith works by love. They're not in love. But see, that's none of my business if they're not. It's my business if I am. That's not my responsibility to see if they're walking in love, if they're in faith. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to love and operate in faith. It's how you choose to respond. One of my coaches, again, Garner, I'll say this all the time, and other people have said it too. It's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. Things are going to happen. You don't have to overthink it. When you overthink it, man, my goodness, your mind goes out there. You just got to lasso that back and get back here. All your feelings, all your emotions will go out, okay? It's how you respond. Let them be the ones that are immature. You keep yourselves in love. And sometimes they're thinking that they're dominating you, but they're trying to provoke you into a fight or an argument or what have you. But I like it how Bishop T.D. Jakes said it. He said, you know you're maturing when you can be nice to nasty. That's hard to do. Because sometimes I want to be nasty back. Now, I'm not saying all the time. I'm in the 90th percentile. But sometimes I do want to be nasty. I get on the court. I remember our wives, we were playing town team, man, and guys were talking smack. We were talking smack. Our wives got kicked out and stuff. I was like, it was a fun time. But not so fun because we lost the game, and that's the reason why we was talking mess, because I was mad. I was angry. But you don't have to keep nasty around you because bad company will corrupt good morals. So you don't have to be the one who starts fights. You can be the one that finishes. And that's kind of how I was raised. Don't start any fights. Don't go around starting fights. But you better make sure you finish it. All right, cool. So we try to get somebody else to provoke them. When I was on a trip, Isaiah and I went to go watch my nephew play his senior day in Iowa. And so we went there, and I dropped him back off in Kansas City. Kristen and Josiah came and picked him up, and I went on to St. Louis, and that was a spiritual trip right there for me. I mean, God did some extraordinary things in my life, because at that time I was thinking about just quitting, getting out of ministry, just quitting. I was ready to throw in the towel. And then it just seemed like the Holy Spirit just clothed me with a robe of righteousness or some kind of robe on me. I felt his comfort and his love in that particular time. Went on down to Memphis and went to the Civil Rights Museum there that they had. And I really wanted to go check out Graceland, but I forgot that Dr. King was assassinated there. So I took a better trip. Afterwards, got some barbecue, then gassed up out of town. And as soon as I got back on I-55, the Lord says, you need to start speaking up, because there are men lying on you. And the words that I give you to say will refute every tongue that rises up against you. So when I tell you to speak, speak. Jesus says, I can only say what I hear my Father say. And I can only do what I see my Father do. You don't have to engage in any kind of little argument, debate, fight, until the Lord says, all right, say something. You know why? Lions eat when they're ready to eat. Hyenas, they'll eat every time. So be a lion. You're rolling with the Lion of Judah. He's on the inside of you. You don't have to sit there and nitpick at every little thing, because you know why? The enemy can get people to do that to you 24/7. But the big ones, when he says to speak, because he's already put it on the inside of you, speak. Lions eat when they're ready to eat. Come on. Verse 7 in Galatians 5:7, it says, you were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. See, this clears up all the false teaching that God is the one hindering you from finishing your race. God is not the one hindering you. If he's told you to do it, he is not the one that's cutting in on you, trying to hinder you from doing what he has called you to do. That's why last week I talked about whatever we allow, God will allow. It's not his fault. So we have to get rid of all distractions in our life if we are to run with ferocity. So who stopped you from obeying the truth? What God has placed before you, get after it. Get after it. What he has placed before you, you get after it. But what does it mean to my past to other people? So? So what? Let them. Man, it's a whole lot better to operate in the anointing than the annoying. I don't have to chase down stories. I don't ever have to chase down stories. I don't have to find out what other people are saying. God just deposits that in my sleep or in my prayer time. I don't have to. I don't have to find out what people are saying, what they're doing. I get it. Man, you've been reading my mail. Well, there are some people that read your mail, read your trash, read your email, read your text, read your... Literally. But see, and he can deposit that in you as well. They have a past. Lord, they know my past. You know, when Judas betrayed Jesus, and even if it's your family members, your family talks about your past, all they're doing is just carrying around a dead corpse. That's it. They're talking about your past, thinking you're the same way that you used to be this way, and he did all this, and we just got to wait to see what he's going to do, because it's going to happen again. That person's dead. But I'll tell you what, if people want to make money off of your past, do what Jesus said at the Last Supper. Hurry up and go do what you got to do. See, he loved Judas to the very end. He loved him to the very end. Judas betrayed Jesus for how many pieces of silver? 30. 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed him. And then when it was all said and done, he's like, wait a minute. I betrayed an innocent man. I betrayed innocent blood. And he threw that money down. They were like, hey, that was on you, man, not on us. You did that. And he went and we all know what happened. Here's the thing. Your family members do that to you? Tell them, don't go do what Judas did. Matter of fact, I'm going to help you out. We gonna milk the devil dry. You're going to milk the devil dry. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to help you to negotiate your contract. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And now they took that money and said, we can't put this in the temple's treasury. It's blood money. They went and did what with it? Anybody know? They purchased the field. The field of blood is what they called them. So, moral of the story is, if that person wants to betray you, make sure it's enough money to buy you some land. Go do what you got to do, but get paid. And you will love them to the very end. You don't have to get yourself out of love. You don't have to get yourself disappointed. Just say, hey, let me help you negotiate. Why? Because I got a race to run. I don't have time for that. And all the enemy wants to do is just distract you from running your race and finishing your race. You want to betray? Go ahead and betray. You want to talk about me? Go ahead and talk about me. Why? I'm not that person anymore. You're not that person anymore. He loves to keep your past right in front of you. Loves it. Get you into fear. So, next time you negotiate, let them know, hey, if it's not enough to buy land, pick a piece of property up. But just don't go and do what he did afterwards. You can repent. Judas never repent. And see, and that's the difference between him and Peter. Peter kept going. Judas didn't. You got to keep yourself in love. Scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. It casts out all fear. You won't have any fear left in you when you're operating in that perfect love. Stuff happened to your kids, there's no fear there. Why? Because you know your God is bigger than that problem. Stuff happened to your sisters, your brothers, your husbands, your wives, you're in perfect love. You're not moved. You're not shaken. You're not disturbed. You got peace on the inside of you, and the enemy is like, what is going on? They're standing here worshiping with their hands up, and I just wrecked their whole life last night. Perfect love. It casts out all fear. Because the thing is that are you going to stand before them or God? So why should you ever fear a man or a woman with some dead corpse? If you've done that, here's the thing. Again, repent. That's all. Just turn from that. But the reality of it is you're still going to come out on top. You're still going to come out on top. See, they might be living in a world system, but you're living in a kingdom system. The kingdom is a whole lot different than the world system. The world system is competition. It's basically, if you can really look at it, and if you studied out narcissism, that's the world. That drive, that's what's driving them. The kingdom of God loves drive the kingdom of God. Because everything is that they got to get, they got to get, they got to get. They will covet to get. They will slander to get. They will destroy to get. That's how it is. You see it all in politics. That's why I love politics. No, I'm not. Faith works by love. If it's not working, you got to check your heart. If it's not working, you get, Lord, is there anything? And the simple thing is just, Lord, is there anything that I'm holding against anyone? Am I forgiving everyone like I should be forgiven? Am I loving everyone that I should be loving? At the end of the day, just do that. Because it should be working. I've had that go on too. I said, I know that's a touchy subject right now. I said, but the thing is that I wasn't in love. But I had to get myself there. But I also had to allow myself to heal. Faith works by love. If we're supposed to imitate Christ and imitate God, we got to do it through love, because he did everything through love. And it was love for the kingdom when he was coming against the religious leaders. It was love for God, the Father, because what they were doing was wrong. Love. His word says, we will be changed. I said, we are a spirit. We possess a mind, and we live in a what? Body. This body that we have is not immortal. It's perishable. So if Jesus should come back 100 years from now, we're all going to meet our maker, and this body's going to go back to dust. We know that. This is a mortal body. Our outward man is decaying, but our inward man was what? Being renewed day by day. But see, in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed just like that. We will be just like him. Our bodies will go from perishable to imperishable. It'll go from mortal to immortality. Our body, our heavenly body, we will have that resurrected body. Anybody thinks that they're living in their resurrected body right now, ain't that's not right. The resurrected body ain't got no loose skin. Turkey neck, leather neck, soggy bottoms, looking like hamburger meat. Big old gut. The resurrected body is perfected. So when we're talking about living in our bodies, in these bodies, they're mortal bodies, but we are spirit beings living in this body. It is not imperishable right now, okay? So keep yourselves in love and in faith, and your relationship with the Father will get deeper and deeper. You keep yourself in love and in faith, and your relationship with the Father will get deeper and deeper. Why? Because your focus is on him. If your focus is on hatred and you're operating in that, then you're always going to be seeking revenge. You're going to be looking for a way to get out somebody. Hatred stirs up strife, contentions, rivalries, discord. That's what hatred does. God is love. He's not hatred. God is not envy. God is not controlling. But God is patient. God is kind. So when you stand before him, that question will never have to be asked, who stopped you from finishing your race? Faith works by love, not by love bombing. I can fake it. If I wanted to, I can really fake it, man. Richard, man, I'll tell you what. Can't nobody slick your head as good as you do. I've been trying it. I cut my hair, and I just can't do it, man. I mean, what do you do? What do you put on it? I can walk in love and do all those things, but you know what? If I'm trying to pray for somebody and I'm believing God for some great miracle and it doesn't happen, I can't turn back around and say, God, what happened? Well, I guess the Lord didn't want him to do it. I guess the Lord just, it just didn't work. It's your fault. wait a minute, it could be my fault. If I'm not in love. Because faith works by love. I said, I didn't offend it, did I? Okay. You got some tough skin. It has to work through love. And when it does, you're going to start seeing more and more happening today, and you won't have to talk about yesteryear. You won't have to, well, I remember this one time when God did this through me. God can still do it now. What happened? Who cut in on you? Who stopped you from running that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead still lives on the inside of you. How come it ain't working today? And if it isn't working today, then you got to check up on your love line, your love walk. You got to check up on your forgiveness. You got to check up on whether or not you're operating in envy and jealousy with one another. Because that's the world. He wants to do extraordinary things through you. Extraordinary things through ordinary people. God wasn't created in your image. We're created in His. Whew. That's for somebody. He works through love. So if you mess up, fess up. It ain't got to be this big old long Facebook story page. Get up. Let's go. We got a race to finish. We got a race to finish. Even the Special Olympics know that. Somebody fall down, they all stop. Come on, get up. We got a race to win. Let's go. You got a great cloud of witnesses watching you. Nobody likes me. Woe is me. I need some Depends because I just want to sit in my mess. Get up. You got more fight than you realize. God, I'm not getting my way. Maybe that's not His way for you. His way will always be better than our way. And it will help you grow in those areas. Sometimes we just don't want to grow. I could ignore every correction if I wanted to. I don't want to listen to you. Yeah, I'm going to block you. Yeah, I don't need to hear a text from you. No, it's Sunday morning. I don't need a phone call today. I can do all of that, but you know, if the Lord is trying to get me something, get something to me, He can deposit it in me. Sometimes we just don't want to be corrected. We don't want, we just want what we want. Now it's time to start living for Him. It's His faith He's given us. It's His love that He's given us. And that will access His grace and His mercy every single day of our lives. It will work every single time because it's already a gift. It's like He's giving you a key, but you want to go ahead and duplicate it. And behind that door, every spiritual gift, every grace gift, what have you, that He has given you. All the promises are right there. Well, I'm going to just get some forgeries and try to put it in. No. This is a master key right here. But I want to get it. I want to force this. No, because I want to say that for later. You can't do it. You can't change that. Because there's only one key that works, faith, which works through love. So what's the driving force in your life? It's got to be through love. If you've been stuck in a cycle of just abuse and you can't get out, number one thing, keep yourself in love, Second thing is you can righteously oppose that. Because either they're out of line, and you don't have to tolerate that. No one has a right to abuse anyone. No one has a right to control you. God is a God. He's given us free will. We don't have a right to control any man, any woman. And when anyone's operating in that, that's demonic. So if you've been stuck in that cycle, keep yourself in love, but you can righteously oppose that. No, I'm not doing that. Why? You're not even submitted to God. You get yourself submitted. He says to submit ourselves one to another. It didn't say have dominion over each other. I don't have dominion over Richard. I don't have dominion over y'all. But you're submitted to me, I'm submitted to you. There's no control going on. No need to be. Because otherwise, God ain't there. That's simple as it gets. When we're living our life by the fruit of the Spirit, that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not puffed up. I got to work on this one. NIV version, I believe, says love doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. I'll say that for later. Because I want to win that argument. I got to bring up the... No. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. And it doesn't matter if you got faith that can move mountains. If you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. Right? We know it, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. You want your faith to work. It is energized, it is activated, and it is expressed through love, period. You can't move mountains. You can't run that kingdom if you ain't in love. So whoever you got offense with, get it reconciled or what have you. Give it to God. Start walking in love. You may have to baby step it, which is what I'm doing right now. But you got to walk in love. Amen? Because God knows your heart. He knows your heart. And don't allow anybody to push you. Never allow anybody to push you into doing something you're not ready to do. Because that would be control. That would be force. That's not God. All right? Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. You're just an awesome and gracious God. We thank you that your faith who works through love is expressed through love, Lord. And you've shown us that in the life of Jesus and everything that he has done for us, Lord. And we just ask that you touch these lives today so that they can keep expressing your love to everyone else, Lord. New levels require that love walk. New levels and open doors require that love walk. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Brandon, you can come up.
I bet you guys thought you were going to get out of here sooner, huh? No chance, sorry. It's kind of interesting. The offering messages... Not one word has failed, and it seems like most of the praise songs today were about how God never fails. That's my daughter following her father's lead. We're just so spiritual at our house that it just flows. So. Not one word has ever failed. In 1 Kings 8:56, it says, "Praise the Lord who has given rest to his people of Israel, just as he promised." Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he gave through his servant, Moses. See, we all face situations that look like they'll never change. We have bigger things in our spirit, and we know what God has promised us, but it seems like we've reached our limit in our careers, our bank accounts. We're stuck in whatever routine it is. Maybe a bad medical report or a broken relationship. See, and you're thinking there's no sign of any improvement. But the scripture says, the things we see now will soon be gone. What we see is subject to change according to what God promises in his word. You can't be moved by what you see. You have to be moved by what you know in God's word. Are you believing for your? Are you believing what you're seeing? Or are you believing what you're reading in God's word? What you see may be lack and struggle, but what God is speaking to you is abundance, healing, breakthroughs, and new levels. Don't reduce God's promise to fit your faith. Stretch your faith and come up to his level. Every word he promises will come to pass. As we receive today's tithes and offerings, don't just settle for mediocrity. Go with what God says. Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you for the awesome promises you've given us through your word. We just thank you that we see those things and we have faith in those things, that your word will come to pass. Not one word has failed. Lord, we just thank you today. We're just so honored to be able to be a blessing. And Lord, we just honor you with these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
How many of you went to the Andrew Womack? How was it?
Good.
A lot of people?
Yeah, that's good. Let's stand. He always does a good job. We were in Emporia. The team was playing Fort Hays and Kearney. Lost to Kearney, beat Fort Hays, which is good. Gonna stick it to them when they come here too. Let them know what they missed out on. See, that's me holding. I gotta get in love. My goodness. Well, turn to somebody and invite them out to lunch. God bless you. See you next week. See you Wednesday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hays.